And here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you of the views that are expressed here, not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us, hopefully coming on the line very, very soon, John McTiernan. And he's a retired police officer. He wrote a wonderful book and called God's Final Warning, talking about the fact that God does judge societies, and he's given us time and again warnings about as we've turned away from him and from his plan for America, and then we'll see these cataclysmic events coming about really very, very closely aligned with another major thing we've done, whether it be legalizing partial birth abortion or legalizing homosexual marriages or so many of the things that we're doing really, which are an affront to our Lord. And there will be a major cataclysmic event, a hurricane or an earthquake or all sorts of things. And if you don't have John McTiernan's excellent book, God's Final Warning, we do carry that here at Radio Liberty because we think it's well worthwhile. And it's very, very thought-provoking. A lot of people are going to say, oh, well, that's just coincidence that these things are happening. But the question is, are you absolutely certain it's just coincidence? Because I don't believe so. I believe that God does work in the affairs of men, and he'll do almost anything he can to get their attention. Unfortunately, most of us really don't want to hear what he has to say, because he convicts us of being really indifferent to his plan for the world. And America, which is certainly one of the most blessed of all nations, has squandered its wealth, has squandered its moral position. America was at one time a Christian nation. Everybody in the world knew we were a Christian nation. The Supreme Court held we were a Christian nation. The state Supreme Court justices held we were a Christian nation. And even today, despite all of the efforts to destroy Christianity, why, the Congress opens with a prayer, the Senate opens with a prayer, even the Supreme Court opens when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. They do the same thing in Montgomery, Alabama, at the Supreme Court there in the state of Alabama. And yet, because Justice Roy Moore had the audacity to say that he had, as a public official, the right to discuss God or to mention God or to, the word was acknowledge God, he was taken from his position. And where is the outcry from our churches? Where is the outcry from our religious leaders? Why, a lot of the religious leaders are actually leading the attack on Judge Roy Moore. And you'll see these people, Christian commentators with syndicated columns, picking on Judge Roy Moore and belittling him. And people like David Limbaugh, who writes books on Christian persecution, and Jay Sekulow from the Pat Robertson's organization, the American Center for Law and Justice, and all these people are going right along with the regular establishment, attacking Judge Moore because he believes that a state official has the right to acknowledge God, not necessarily to force his beliefs on anybody else, but to acknowledge God. And we now live in a post-Christian nation. And it happened because the good people of this country would not take a stand, because the churches refused to take a stand as they step by step moved us away from being a Christian nation to becoming an atheist nation, and now increasingly we're a pagan nation. All you need to do is watch our movies, the sexual immorality, the ridiculing of God, and ladies and gentlemen, God will not be mocked. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, well, please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line John McTiernan. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Dr. Stan, praise the Lord. Thank you for inviting me again. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, we've already talked a little bit about your book, God's Final Warning, and what an important book we think that is, as far as pointing out the relationship between the steps as America turns away from God and God's warning to this country through major cataclysmic events, and yet nobody ever takes and puts the dots together and begins to point out that God does interfere in the lives of men. God's trying to warn us, and we don't want to hear his warning.
Well, Stan, you're absolutely right. I mean, and there's various reasons for this, which I think is important for your listeners to hear, because you know, some of your listeners may doubt the things which we're going to share, but I just like to kind of set the stage, if you don't mind.
You go right ahead.
Well, one of the things that I found people sort of doubt that God could be warning nations is that God is just simply love. And, you know, God is love. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. However, the other side is God is holy. And man is sinful, and in God's love, he sent the Lord Jesus to reconcile us to him. But God cannot overlook his holiness. And when nations turn into what we call sin, what the Bible calls sin, they can only go so far, and then God has to bring judgment on them. And America, right now, if we were a nuclear power plant, if you view us as a nuclear power plant, and the core was melting, you would have all the bells and whistles and sirens going off and flashing lights and everything, but warning that there was great danger occurring. That's what's going on in America right now.
But nobody hears the bells and whistles, and certainly nobody's telling the bells and whistles are there. And people go blithely on their way buying things at Christmas time, but of course forgetting what Christmas was all about. And of course Christmas was about the birth of our Savior, but that isn't mentioned on ER or any of the popular programs. They're always giving us other things entertaining.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is John McTiernan, and he's talking about, of course, God's warning to America, which everybody is ignoring, including most of our church leaders. So pick up the story from there, John.
Yeah, and so what we have, Stan, is there are a variety of reasons why unbelief is another one. People just simply, you know, they've relegated God to some corner of the universe or outside the universe, and he doesn't interfere or regulate or control or anything, the affairs of man. I mean, man, in a lot of people's thinking, is completely independent of God. But that's not what the Bible says. In America, as you have mentioned, my first book, God's Final Warning to America, and then my second one, Israel, the Blessing of the Curse, Stan, since 1987, I've documented that every major stock market crash has been on a national homosexual, abortion, or touching Israel-related event. I've documented since the Hurricane Hugo in 1989, every single hurricane that smashed into the United States, there must be about 20 of them now, have been on one of these days. I've documented since the, am I saying this right? The Promo Eleta, is that the word? The earthquake in 1989 up there in San Francisco.
Loma Prieta,
right. Every earthquake, including the one that just occurred probably not too far from you.
No, that was Paso Robles.
No, the one that just occurred.
Yes, that was the epicenter was in Paso Robles.
You know, yeah, but I'm not familiar with the geography of California.
All right, well it's
how
about,
far is that from you?
It's about, oh, I'd say about 100 miles south of here.
Okay, did you feel it?
Yes, oh sure. We it was about a 4.5 here, but it was a 6.5 there.
Right. Well, these earthquakes are occurring on these days. We can discuss the fires, these record fires that California suffered this year. The fires, like, will begin on days like this. The Great Flood of 93 began on Gay Pride Day. I've documented that. And the list goes on and on and on, Stan. So our country, these disasters that are hitting it, are hitting on days which God says He will judge nations for what they're doing. And I believe that these are warnings. They're warnings that there's a huge cataclysmic judgment coming as we turn from God. We're mocking Him. We're promoting the very, not only are we doing, but as a nation we're promoting the very things which He says He will judge nations over.
I agree with you totally, and it's such a tragic situation when the average Christian really can't see what's going on. He's just so busy being busy and making a living and enjoying the good life and going to churches that make him feel good, and they got music that got a real beat to it. Sort of sounds like the jungle drums in Africa when I was there, but that's all right. Everybody's happy and they're dancing in the aisles, and of course we've forgotten really what the church was. A place we went to and we got dressed up and we looked at the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, with awe. Does anybody have awe of God today? Oh no, he's sort of like our buddy, like a cosmic Santa Claus. He gives us whatever we want. And
well, that's what I was talking about before, Stan. The holiness of God is no longer even, I don't even think it's theologically believed anymore. And of course, when you throw the holiness out, the fear of God goes out with him, and he becomes just like you were saying, you know, a cosmic Santa Claus, there for your bidding to give whatever you need, and God becomes like the big universal valet for us, where he is the Lord, and he is holy, and we are to be in reverent awe of him, and our life is to line up with what he wants.
And you know, John, if you study the Old Testament, you find whenever the children of Israel or any other people turned against God, God brought judgment on that nation. And yet, if anybody's to say that God brings judgment on America, why, poor old Jerry Falwell made that remark on the Pat Robertson program after 9/11. He was attacked by everybody in the country for daring to say that God could have had anything to do with that. And now, of course, instead of, you know, saying maybe God was trying to tell us something, we're going to build a bigger building. We're going to build the tallest building in the world right there at the World Trade Center, because why, we Americans can do anything without God.
Well, Stan, someone sent me a photocopy of a Puritan book written in the 1600s, and it's a very difficult book to read because, you know, the language then was, the letters in the language was different than it is now. And I read some of it, and I put it aside, and I never really got back to it, but I'm going to have to force myself to read through it. But it was written by a preacher who I don't know, and I don't think he's well known in history, but he wrote this book, and in it he was talking about judgments, and he was talking about the fear of God, and that he was talking about, you know, earthquakes and like hurricanes. I don't know what word he used for hurricane. I think he called them great storms and all this, that God can visit them upon on the nation and bring judgment for our wickedness. So, I mean, they were preaching that in the 1600s about the true fear of God, and that God can bless a country and because of its righteousness, and he can curse a country because of its wickedness. I mean, this was a book was written on this by a Puritan preacher in the 1600s, and it seemed to be like just a common concept. And now, when I talk about it in a lot of circles, I'm a raving maniac.
Well, of course,
but I'm talking within the church.
This was the message that Jonathan Edwards put out
exactly.
In 1740.
Exactly.
A sinner in the hands of an
exactly.
angry God was the sermon he gave over and over and over again. And between he and Wesley and I think one other man, they changed
Whitfield,
this whole nation.
George
right,
Whitfield.
Right. And really, over half the people returned to the Lord, and that laid the foundation then for the American Revolution, the writing of the Declaration of Independence, in this concept of establishing a nation where our rights came from God. Not from government, not from politicians, not from John Ashcroft. Our rights came from God. And yet today, if you were to say that, in public circles, you'd be laughed and ridiculed, and you'd probably be attacked by many of our own religious leaders.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the religious leaders that are behind the Episcopalian Church now that are ordaining homosexuals as bishops, active, blatant homosexuals as bishops, and there's very little hue and cry from the country. This is frightening. When you look at scriptures, when you exalt homosexuality in the Bible, when it's exalted, and we look at the Bible, The Bible says that that is a reprobate nation, or reprobate people. That's Romans chapter 1. And that they're ready for God's judgment. I mean, that's what the Bible says.
Well, if you were to say that in Canada today, that puts you in jail. And increasingly in English-speaking countries, we're one of the last countries where we have the right to say that. You'd just be deemed intolerant and really, of course, unfeeling and uncaring and really sort of mean-spirited to say that. And yet, that's exactly what God says in His Bible. And we either, of course, go by the Bible or we try to have man create a better society. And you can see what a good job man is doing by what's happening in America today.
Well, I fear God and not man, Stan. And I feel compelled to warn, and I thank you for the opportunity to let me come on your show. All the warning lights are going on now, all the bells and whistles and lights and sirens, that America is in grave. I'm not really concerned that much about Osama bin Laden. And of course I know he can do, he's done damage and things could happen and Islam what it's doing. I mean, yeah, that's all a concern, but I'm really concerned that when God is against us now. That's my big concern, Stan. I mean, if the Lord's against us, what hope do we have? I mean, we've done everything to provoke him. We kill 1.5 million babies a year by the most heinous methods ever devised. We have homosexual marriages now in Vermont, and they're trying to push it in other states. Homosexual adoptions, homosexual rights, according to the Supreme Court, is like a constitutional right now. Homosexual bishops in the church. We're forcing Israel to divide the land. I mean, we're doing everything in scriptures. Our country is one of the main bastions for pornography. We're doing everything. We won't have the Ten Commandments. We're on a search and destroy mission to get the Ten Commandments removed from every government building in the country. So we're doing everything to provoke him to judgment. Everything.
Well, I fear for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice cannot sleep forever. Now, that's what Thomas Jefferson wrote. Those words are engraved in marble on his monument back in Washington, D.C., in the Jefferson Memorial Monument, and yet that is never taught in our schools today. I wonder why not.
Stan, I was originally a history major when I was in college. And I transferred out because I didn't really see a future in it. And I'm always a history buff. I mean, anytime I get time, I'm always reading anything about history. I really like history. And for some reason, in my studies, I never read the Treaty of Paris in 1783. Are you familiar with the Treaty of Paris?
The one that talks about the Trinity, right?
Yeah, right in it. The treaty, see, you hear people talk about the Declaration of Independence, which is a very important document, and the Constitution. But the third document in between them, or the second one, which would be in between them, is the Treaty of Paris that granted us independence and being a nation. Now, isn't that an important document, Stan?
Of course it is. And the fact that people don't know about that, or the treaty with Russia in 1789, both of them talked about the Trinity.
Yes.
But, of course, totally blacked out by the controlled media.
Exactly. I mean, when you look at it, and I have it, let me see if I can get it, because I'd like your listeners to hear the quote. And I just found this this year, Stan, the Treaty of Paris. I just came across it this year. Right in it, the very opening words are in the name of like the Most Holy Trinity. And I want to get the direct quote for your readers to hear this. It's an amazing thing, and it's never taught in schools. It's like it never happened.
All right, you're going to have to hold that thought because we're going to have to take a break, and I want our listeners to hear that the full quotation when they get back. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get the truth about our country, and you're sure not going to get it by listening to most talk radio programs and certainly not to the establishment radio and even going to college or school, because they're not going to educate you. They're going to indoctrinate you with an intense hatred of Jesus Christ and our Lord, and of course everything that is good and worthwhile and noble about our once great nation. Have you ever wondered what
the Vietnamese War was really all about. Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000. Alimax.
Well, Dr. Stan here, let me just mention that if you'd really like to get more information on Vietnam, we have a Vietnam special. We actually have the four-tape set on Vietnam, The Untold Story. We have The Men We Left Behind, the story of one man who came back. These are all four-tape sets, the story of Bobby Garwood and how the government didn't want this man to come back because he was going to tell the American people about all the other boys we abandoned. And after all, if he told it, some people might believe it. And realized that Henry Kissinger and Slippery Dick Nixon had actually betrayed the American people and betrayed those boys, those brave boys who went overseas to fight for freedom, when, of course, they never were sent to fight for freedom. They were sent over to act as a diversion while they transformed America into a socialist society and brought in the great society programs of Lyndon Johnson and the International Socialist Movement. Well, the four-tape set, pardon me, the program, the Vietnam special, also includes the government report, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report on the boys we abandoned in the First World War and in the Second World War and in Korea and Vietnam. And you need to get this government report. It's been totally suppressed. It comes as part of the Vietnam special, and there's so many other specials. We hope you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Vietnam special. We also have a new video. It's called Megiddo. It will give you an overview of where we are headed as a nation, and of course it goes into the background of the Third World War, which we've already entered. It goes into the background of the secret societies, the Illuminati, the Masons. It is the best single video we have available. Now, I wish I'd produced it. I didn't, but we've had Chris Pinto has produced this, and you'll want to get a copy of Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. And then, of course, our other new video is called Diaprax, D-I-A-P-R-A-X. It's the story of the seeker-friendly churches all across America. This is sweeping America. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is John McTernan. And John's book, God's Final Warning, We Carry, it begins to correlate all of the amazing things that are happening in our society as the major cataclysmic events, which apparently appear to be caused by nature. But is it just coincidence that they've all corresponded with major events where the Supreme Court has legalized partial birth abortion or homosexual marriages or things of that sort? And time and again, when we flaunt God, God tries to send us a message, and we ignore it. We call it a natural event. And yet, of course, the God who could create the heavens and the earth could also create cataclysmic events right here in this world to try to warn his people. But his people don't want to hear the message, it seems, John.
Stan, we were just articulating a little while ago why people won't receive the message. And, you know, it's nothing new. It saddens my heart because it's so clear to me. God is very merciful, and before he judges, he always warns, Stan. You mentioned ancient Israel before. Think of all the prophets he sent before the judgment fell. When we look at Noah, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years before the judgment fell.
Now, why don't you go ahead and read that part about the Trinity, about the Church of the Treaty of Paris in 1783, the sort of thing that they never teach in schools today.
This is never taught in school. Now, I'm reading directly. This is a direct quote. The heading is the Paris Peace Treaty of 1783. That's officially what it's called. Here is the very opening words. And this was shocking to me, Stan, when I read this. In the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. That's how it begins.
Sure.
When we were founded as a nation. You know, the Declaration of Independence, I guess this document technically was the founding of the United States. We were granted our independence. The war with Great Britain was over, and this document granted us the right to be an independent nation. So we were founded on the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. And then when you read it, it's a little awkward in modern reading here, but it's kind of touching. It says, it having pleased the divine providence to dispose the hearts of the most serene and most potent Prince George III by the grace of God. Well, the grace of God, divine providence, who is that? That's the Blessed Trinity. King of Great Britain, France, Ireland, Defender of the Faith, Duke of Brunswick and Lauenburg, Arch-Treasurer and Prince-Elect of the Holy Roman Empire, etc., and the United States of America. So that's how it begins, in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. When it talks about divine providence and the grace of God, who is that? That's not Allah, and that's not some far-off God that no one can know. That's the God of the Bible.
Well, you see, there's so much evidence out there that America was founded as a Christian nation, but now they say, oh, well, yes, that was the way it was back then, but everything's changed. After all, we've got all the Muslims here, and we've got all the Hindus here, and we've got all the atheists here, and so we can't talk about God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jews and the Christians. Oh, no, we would offend some of those other people. And yet, of course, if we're offended by the teaching homosexuality in school, they say, well, after all, you're a bigot because you don't want these things taught. And so what they do is they confuse people, they put us on the defensive, and what's amazing to me is that Christians always back down because, after all, we don't want to be confrontational, even in defense of our Lord.
Well, Stan, I agree with you 100%, and we need fire. We need godly fire in our souls, in our bosoms, to preach the gospel and to stand for what's right. And Stan, I'll finish right here with the Treaty of Paris, 1783. This is how it ends. Done at Paris, this third day of September, in the year of our Lord 1783. Signed by the United States. D. Hartley. Now, I don't know who he is. John Adams. John Adams was the second president of the United States. Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, he's the great statesman at the founding of the United States, and John Jay, he's the first Supreme Court Justice of the United States. So we had the second president, Benjamin Franklin, and the first Supreme Court Justice all signing a document which begins with, in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity.
And yet, of course, you will never hear that mentioned, except perhaps on some fringe program like ourselves or people like John McTiernan, who's out trying to awaken the Christian people of this country to the fact that there is no incidence in all history where a nation is turned against God, where God has not eventually withdrawn his support and blessing from that nation. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two. We'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. Our guest, John McTiernan, we carry his book, God's Final Warning, and we carry his book, Israel, the Blessing of the Cursed. And if you'd like to get them, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is at war and under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to tell you about a special book. It's called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in the early 90s.
Epidemic, and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1 and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to tell you about some of the things we carry here because they help us to stay on the air. One of them, of course, is Phonopoly. Phonopoly is a board game played like Monopoly. It's actually 5 board games and 2 bonus games. And it's designed for people who've been victims of government school education that's taught them to look at words rather than to sound out words. And, of course, phonics is the basis of learning to read and read properly, to be able to spell and spell properly, to be able to pronounce words properly. Phonics is not taught in most government schools. In fact, everything is done to discourage children from using phonics because, after all, we wouldn't want smart children in the country that we're trying to dumb down, would we? And so it is that Phonopoly is available. Most of these programs, $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95, and actually we provide a couple of books along with that going into the background of how they've intentionally dumbed down our children. Phonopoly, we recommend to you whether you're 5 years old or 15 years old or 55 years old, you'll benefit from playing Phonopoly, available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We also carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any claims. All we can do is tell you that many of the people who use Miracle 2 products tell us how wonderful they are. Some people say it helps get rid of acne, and some people say it gets rid of skin rashes, and I know it certainly seems to have helped me with a rash that I had. I use the soap. I just like the moisturizing soap because it does away with the scaling around the elbows, and of course it doesn't tend to promote rashes, which many soaps do. The neutralizer, some people say it helps the upper intestinal tract and heartburn. Other people say it helps the lower digestive tract. Why don't you call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask about the Miracle 2 soap products or see them at our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is John McTernan. And if you're out there and have a question or comment, you agree or disagree, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, John, did you want to talk about your book, The God's Final Warning? Or did you want to talk a little bit about your book, Israel, Blessing or the Blessing of the Curse?
Well, actually, Stan, I wanted to talk about both and put them in the perspective of California with the big fires that were out there.
Go right ahead, then.
Stan, the fires began... Let me put this in perspective. Of course, you followed what went on out there with the election of Arnold Schwarzenegger and removal of Gray Davis as governor. But at the end of Gray Davis's term there, or as it was apparent it was ending, he had the legislature passed in California, and he signed homosexual legislation. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, and all sorts of legislation so that you could have homosexual parents and special rights for transvestites, all sorts of legislation would be an affront to our Lord.
Yes. Well, those fires started, Stan, a few days after he signed that into legislation. I was able to, I think it was 2 days, within 2 days of him signing that legislation into law, the fires began in California. They burned approximately the size of the state of Rhode Island. Isn't that amazing?
It really is.
I think it was 1 million acres, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was like around 1 million acres burned. Unprecedented fires. And by God's mercy, I was following them very closely. Again, I am not familiar with the geography of California, so you have to bear with me on this. But the fires, apparently, in the late summer, the winds switch, and they're called Santa Ana winds.
Right, uh-huh.
And they come from the west to the east, and they come down to the ocean. And there's the San Bernardino Mountains, and these mountains were a buffer between these fires and Los Angeles. And they were desperately fighting to keep the fires from coming over the crown of the mountain because there would be nothing to stop them from burning from San Bernardino to the ocean, which would include Los Angeles. And by God's grace, the fires didn't reach the top, and they stopped. But it was very close. I mean, the firefighters there, I'm trying to think of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association, was terrified of these fires crossing the ridge of the San Bernardino Mountains. They said nothing could stop them. Nothing. Nothing could stop those fires from burning all the way to the ocean. So we were within, you know, a very close stand, perhaps a day or two because the winds died down, of those fires coming over the top of the mountain and burning right to the ocean. It would be arguably the greatest disaster ever hit the United States, as it would have burnt a huge swath right through Los Angeles to the ocean. And that occurred within 2 days after that homosexual legislation.
Well, of course, the doubters are going to say, well, it was just coincidence. But the trouble is there's so many coincidences.
Right, Stan. I've documented about 75 occurrences. I have to go and add them up again because they happen so rapidly now, it's hard for me to keep the figure. But in my book, and by the way, for the listeners, in the back of the book, I have complete documentation of everything I state in the book. So you can go to the back of my book, go to a good library, and look up the New York Times and see on the precise day that I give, and you can see the verification that I use to back up everything that's in my books.
And, of course, the book is God's Final Warning, and you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIB-WARN. It's a shocking book when you read it and contemplate what is there, the message that's there.
Okay, Stan, now we have the earthquake that just occurred. I've been following, in fact, I was talking to my co-author just a day in my book, Israel, A Blessing and a Curse. My co-author is a White House correspondent, Bill Koenig, and we were talking on the phone about what was going on at Israel. And I said to him, Bill, I said, the pressure, now a lot of this pressure has not reached the main media, but the pressure that President Bush and Secretary of State Colin Powell is putting on Israel is enormous. They will not let Israel build that fence to separate them from the terrorists. They will not allow Israel to unilaterally create a Palestinian state. And I'm not necessarily for a Palestinian state, but Israel wanted to do this to set up so they could set up a border, a permanent border, to protect itself from these terrorists that just freely come across the open space between Israel the land that's, you know, in claim. President Bush was literally bullying Israel, telling Israel, you better not do this, you better not do that. There is going to be a Palestinian state, started in 2004, it will be a functioning state in 2005. They were pressuring Israel about Jerusalem to be the capital of this Palestinian state. And I said to him, Bill, in the past, this is the exact pressure, the exact statement that brought awesome judgment on the United States. The very next day, Stan, the earthquake hit California. Again, that God was merciful. It was in a remote area. It shook the entire state. I mean, it was felt from San Francisco down to Los Angeles, from what I understand. But what a warning, Stan. Every earthquake of this magnitude, every one, I can tie directly to the day. It's either Gay Pride Day, Supreme Court decisions about abortion, or touching Israel. I no sooner had mentioned to my co-author that what we're doing, what the president is doing, is going to bring judgment on us, and the very next day, this earthquake shook all of California.
Well, let's go to John calling from Syracuse. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Dr. Stan, nice to hear you again. I have a question for your guest concerning Israel. The information that you're putting out today, sir, is very interesting in how the correlations depict certain events having a certain event tied to it. But when you speak of Israel, the pressure we're putting on Israel, and I watch the players in that game, Ariel Sharon, Shimon Peres, you're talking about atheists and Marxists, that we're putting pressure on people that are running the country of Israel that don't have the same Israeli feeling as the Orthodox Jews do in Israel or the Christians in the United States do, but these leaders that we're talking about aren't what they seem. Because Shimon Peres, and we've got a devout Marxist there, and we have Ariel Sharon, who is nothing more than an atheist.
All right, fine. Let's get John's response to that. How would you respond to what John from Syracuse is saying?
Well, that was a very good question that he posed. And my response to that is when I look at in the scriptures, and I don't really, in fact, in my book, Israel, the Blessing and the Curse, I go into detail on this. That land is given by covenant by God. And it's given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed unconditionally. It doesn't depend upon the belief of the Jews. And the scripture's crystal clear that Israel is going to come back into the land in unbelief. There is no doubt about that. Again, it's all in my book. I show that they're going to be in unbelief, and I suggest that you read Zechariah chapter 12, because it talks about Jerusalem being the center of world attention. It talks about God judging the nations over Jerusalem. It talks about, in verse 9, Jerusalem being inhabited again, meaning it was going to be, there was going to be another dispersion, that the city was going to be inhabited again. God was going to judge the nations over it. And then in verse 10, you'll read that national Israel looks on him who was pierced. They're going to mourn for him. The whole nation is going to go into mourning. And, of course, that's the second coming of the Lord. So when I look at scriptures, it's crystal clear that God is going to recreate the nation in unbelief, and then part of the pressure that's coming on them from the world is going to be used to turn them to believe in the Lord Jesus. So I hope that answers your question.
And I think that's a very, very good answer. I think people have to understand that the leadership of both the conservative and the liberal parties over there, I believe, is manipulated just like the leaders of our conservative and liberal parties here. I think they're all being manipulated by the same people. I think that Sharon is ready to make all sorts of concessions, feeling that somehow, you know, that men are going to work out a peaceful solution over there between the Jews and the Palestinians, and men are never going to work out a solution there. The hatreds are just too intense on both sides. And I don't believe that only God's intervention is going to change things at all. And change, as somebody once said, you're never going to have peace in the Holy Land until the Palestinian mothers love their sons more than they hate Israel.
That was Golda Meir who said that.
And what we need to do, of course, is to realize that we're financing Yasser Arafat, who's a lifelong terrorist. We're financing the Palestinians, and we're financing the Israelis. And we're playing them one against one another. And until people can understand that this whole thing is manipulated, nothing is going to change. I really don't believe so. I don't think we want a solution there. I think we want a problem. How else can we justify our permanent presence in the Middle East? Because we are moving towards permanent presence in the Middle East. And God help us. Well, John, what are some of the other things, points you'd like to make?
Well, Stan, it seems to be coming to a crisis or a head now in the United States. 2003, I believe, was a big turning point because the Supreme Court, in effect, in the Texas case, said that homosexuality was protected by the Constitution. And then in Vermont and New Hampshire, well, in New Hampshire in particular, the Episcopalians put a homosexual in is a bishop. And Stan, do you know the background? I just can't think of his name right now. The bishop. Do you know what he did?
Well, all I know is that he's an overt homosexual, a declared homosexual, and he is now a bishop in the Episcopalian Church, and at least a majority of the other bishops and the leaders of the Episcopalian Church voted to defy all of God's laws, and, well, we're going to do what we want to. We're going to put them in. We're going to just flaunt God's laws.
Well, what he did, Stan, is he was married, and I forget for how many years, but he had two children, two boys. And he wanted a honorable divorce, so he divorced his wife in the church itself, in the church. And then he married or took a live-in homosexual partner. So not only is he an active homosexual, but he divorced his wife after so many years with two children, and then he's in active homosexual relation with another man, and in spite of all that, he was raised up to be bishop. That happened this year. And also, Massachusetts said that the laws, the marriage laws that prevent homosexual marriage were unconstitutional in the state of Massachusetts. So this year is a watershed year, plus how strong the president has come down against Israel in this roadmap that he talks about, and now he's pressuring Israel to go by the Geneva Accords, which is a complete sellout of the nation. Stan, we've made a huge turn in 2003 as a nation, and I think that most of your listeners can feel that, Stan. I think most of the people in the country have a sense that something is radically wrong, even if they mightn't be able to put their finger on it. As I go throughout the country and I speak to people and I talk to people in my daily life, they all know now that something is radically wrong with the United States. And what's radically wrong is we've completely, and the Supreme Court, I mean, also in Alabama, the Ten Commandments now, they ruled against Judge Moore in Alabama, and that went all the way up through the federal court. So in every way we turn, 2003 was a watershed year turning against the God who blessed us and the God, the Holy Trinity, as we were formed by the Treaty of Paris in 1783. We're completely throwing God out and embracing everything which he says he will destroy nations over.
Amen to that. You're absolutely right. And but I don't think most people really are concerned, because they think we really, well, God isn't going to punish America. After all, he loves America. He loves everybody. And, of course, they've forgotten that if God is only love, that it's the ultimate triumph of evil. If God is not a God of judgment and justice and vengeance and a God of wrath, then of course, evil triumphs, because there are no barriers put between people and doing exactly what their sinful nature wants them to do. And we seem to have lost that from the Christian church today.
Stan, I'd like to bring one other thing that comes to my attention. Do you remember in history, in the 1300s, the great, maybe it was the 1400s, the great London fire?
I'm not quite that old, but I know what you're speaking
about. No, I said from history.
All right, from history.
Reading history, yeah. It like burned half of the city and all.
Right.
I remember reading an account in history of, there were about five preachers, because apparently London was real wicked at that time. Prostitution was rampant. They were crippling their children so that they would go out and beg. And, I mean, there was all sorts of stuff. And these preachers fanned throughout London, and they were in the streets warning of the judgment to come for the wickedness of London. And literally, during the height of their preaching, the fire broke out and burnt about half the city, and they said afterwards, this like awe, the survivors of the fire, this like awe and holiness took over in London, because they realized that, you know, that the wickedness had brought this about. So what I'm talking about right now, when I'm talking about my books, isn't something that is just like, I don't know if you want to use the word invented by me now. Throughout history, there have been, as I'm uncovering with the Puritans and now the fire of London and other things, there have been warnings and warnings of the wickedness of the people, of judgment to come.
I think God is a God of long suffering and long patience, but eventually he gets to the point he's not going to put up with it any longer. And I don't know how soon that time is coming, but I don't think it's going to be too much longer. I think everything is there that's pointing to work. Approaching a cataclysmic turn in history.
Right, Stan. That's why I mentioned what I did. The homosexuality, the level that it's out at, we're so weak in the United States that we can't even stop partial birth abortion. And the coming down on Israel as we're doing, everything points to, in the very near future, an awesome train wreck with the God who loves us and created us. However, he cannot allow the sanctity of marriage to be destroyed the way we're doing it, Stan. He can't. If we won't... Stan, do you realize... I'm sure you realize, but do your listeners realize that the American people don't know what a marriage is anymore, Stan? I mean... A marriage is sort of open-ended now. It could be two men, it could be two women, it could be a man and two women. I mean, it could be a woman and two men. I mean, we don't know what marriage is anymore as a nation. And if you say it's between a man and a woman, you're a bigot.
Well, we're in real trouble, John. Thank you so much for being with us. We're out of time. It's always a pleasure. Hope we can get you on again here real soon.
Okay, Stan. Lord bless you and Lord bless your listeners.
Bye-bye. And that was John McTernan, his book, God's Final Warning and Israel, the Blessing, the Curse, both available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WARM right here at Radio Liberty.
Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who garnered the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention, if you'd like to know more about the Treaty of Paris and the Treaty of Russia, both treaties, one 1783, the other 1789, that talked about the Trinity, you need to get the wonderful book we carry by Bill Federer, America's God and Country. It's just chock full of the quotations by our founding fathers all about America and it being a Christian nation and their Christian beliefs and our freedom came from God, all the things that are never taught in our schools today. So, America's God and Country, and then, of course, David Barton's book, Original Intent, and, of course, we have one other book called Abandonment Theology. All of these books you need to get, you need to read, you need to study. But if I was only going to get one, I would get America's God and Country, because it's like an encyclopedia, and will give you the information you need and the documentation you need to show others that America has always been a Christian nation, or was a Christian nation, until America turned its back on God. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get the other items we have, and we mentioned earlier the video, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, because it goes into the secret society, specifically the Masons, the Illuminati, and their plan for a third world war. And ladies and gentlemen, we are moving into a third world war within this last week. The Soviets deployed another squadron of nuclear-tipped ballistic, ballistic missiles, nuclear-tipped ballistic missiles that can reach the shores of our land. They are in full military production for war. And we are unilaterally disarming. Oh, yes, we're going to build a few ABMs. I think we're going to be able to bring down 20 weapons if the system works. We don't even know it's going to work. Call 1-800-544-8927. Get the new video, Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, and get Diaprax 2 to understand what's really going on in the church in America today. Well, Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we really hope that many of you out there will decide that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters as we and help us as we 5 hours every day reach out across America by radio and by shortwave, by internet and by satellite, reaching people with the information they're not going to get elsewhere. So if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe we're involved in a spiritual battle for the soul of America, give us a call, Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a free copy of our December newsletter, which will tell you why we took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. Everybody knows they did. Took it out, but why did we take it out? Well, we tell you why we took it out, and you'll have to get our December newsletter. And, of course, you send your copy free of charge. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now, our newsletters are available on our website, and it'll be available probably in about 10 days on the website. That's the December newsletter at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can go to our website. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the various networks we're on. And, of course, we hope that you will tell others about our website, that you encourage them to listen to the archives. This program will be archived, as most of our programs are archived for about 6 weeks. And listen to what John McTernan said. Again, he has a great deal of wisdom. Now, we do carry his book, God's Final Warning and Israel, the Blessing, or the Curse, Israel, the Blessing of the Curse. These books are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The two videos we've talked about, Diaprax, telling you what's happening in the Christian church today. As our churches are being taken over, the great apostasy is spreading across America in the name of the church growth movement, the purpose-driven church. Why are you here? What is God's purpose for your life? Well, it's certainly not going to learn anything about the God of the Bible, but the new sort of meltdown cosmic Santa Claus that is providing love for everybody and changing the message and the music of our churches. If you'd like to understand what's really going on and how the Christians are being manipulated to their own destruction, because the whole purpose of the church growth movement is manipulation. It's a program that was developed for corporate entities to manipulate the employees to make them more efficient. And now they brought it into the church to manipulate the parishioners to go along and get along. And don't rock the boat, because if you do rock the boat, you'll be driven out of the church, you'll be demonized and marginalized, and you wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. The video is Diaprax. And the other video we're really recommending is Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. And it's a wonderful story. It's well over 2 hours, very professionally done. They will tell you about the organizations that are working behind the scenes, destroying the Christian foundations of this country. It goes into Masonry, it goes into the Illuminati, it goes into the First World War and the Second World War, and now, of course, the Third World War, because we are in World War III. And if any of you there really believe that we're going to pull our troops out of the Middle East in a year or 2 or 3 years, you haven't read the Master Plan. And, of course, if you get our syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story, the Master Plan is in there from the Project for the New American Century, which included Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld. It was written in the year 2000, and they lay it all out. We're going to have our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. But, of course, we don't want to tell the common folks that, because they wouldn't understand what the elite knows is so much better for us. Well, pray for America. Pray for a revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Remember our number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And until Monday, we'll be back with you once again. This is Dr. Stan saying goodbye. May the Lord be with you.